This morning, I want to share with you about the issue of having an orphan spirit. You know, it's interesting. I've been in going to Africa these last couple years, I have become acutely aware of how many people have an orphan spirit. I've mentioned this to Pastor Dave many times when I would come back from a trip and I'd say, I've never seen so much hunger for like spiritual fatherhood or spiritual motherhood or whatever. I've never seen it so, at least it's never been so apparent to me as it's been since I've been going to Africa. But in the course of doing that, it's also made me realize the Africans aren't the only ones that have this spirit of being an orphan on them, even if they're not an orphan. Although there's lots of orphans in Africa, and many of the young pastors that I know and deal with there have no parents. Their parents died. The average age of lifespan in Tanzania is about 45 years old, which makes me a serious elder in that place. You know what I mean? So I just say that because, I mean, there's the natural issues of people not having fathers or mothers, but it's even deeper than that. And having experienced things like that, as they have, if there's something that seems to be missing in their life and that they're looking for. But it's made me aware that it's not only an issue in Africa, it's an issue everywhere, this kind of orphan spirit that I see where there seems to be this big gaping hole in their hearts and a lack of being able to feel like a son or a daughter that's treasured. You know, we've often talked about, and it's been a subject for years and years in our country and on talk shows and whatever else, of, well, if your mother and your father weren't perfect, you know, you got all these issues, right? Issues, you have issues, and it's all your parents' fault. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the reality that we can have a mother and a father, and they can be good parents, and we're good parents. There won't be perfect parents, no matter who they were or are, but you could have had good parents and still have an orphan spirit on you. An orphan spirit demonstrates or manifests itself in a lot of ways, and I'm going to talk to you specifically about what that looks like in a person's life. And if you see that you have that on you, God's so good, He can heal that thing and take it out of you so you don't have to wander through life like somebody who is an orphan, who feels like they're alone, who feels like they don't belong anywhere, and all of those sorts of things. And that's basically what I want to talk to you today is about getting freedom from that kind of orphan spirit. You know, the Lord tells us in His Word, and if we, is the PowerPoint, oh, where's that little clicker thing? Little clicker. We'll see if we can get this up here. I have the scripture to put up, but, you know, the Word of God tells us that God has called us sons and daughters. We'll see if we can find it. He's called us, He's given us this amazing privilege of calling us His children. Don't look at that yet. Saying that we are sons and daughters of God. So whether you have parents or you don't have parents, whether you had parents or that were terrible or abandoned you or put you in an orphanage or you've been in a foster home, grow up in foster homes, like many of the children that Pastor Dave and I worked with in the early part of our marriage, regardless of what your situation, good parents, bad parents, no parents, doesn't matter. In the sense that that can completely be changed and every way it affected your life can totally be changed if you accept the truth of what God's Word says. And here in 2 Corinthians 6:18, it's quoting this scripture of what God said, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is a promise of God. This is something every person can have. And even if you feel abandoned by your natural parents or you feel like you didn't get much parenting or maybe they were young and couldn't parent you properly, you don't have to go around life feeling or acting or experiencing this orphan spirit because God says, I'll be a father to you. I'm going to adopt you so you don't have to be an orphan anymore. I'm going to take you as my own son, as my own daughter. You don't have to be an orphan anymore. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, the application of that is very important. You can read that in the Bible and still feel like an orphan. You can have people preach it to you and walk around like an orphan. And you can be 50 years old and have an orphan spirit on you. And I'll describe it, as I said, in a few minutes. Another awesome promise that we find in the Word of God is this one, which is found in Romans chapter 8. And here we see it in the Amplified Translation, and it says this: For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us, I like that, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are His disciples, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. Now, this passage of Scripture is so powerful. It says, first of all, that we have received a spirit of adoption. That cancels all orphanage issues right there. Orphan, no problem. You're adopted. You're getting adopted, okay? And when you get adopted, you get family, right? And when you get adopted, you get a father. And this is what the Lord is saying. The Spirit of God is saying to us, you haven't received a spirit of slavery. And a lot of people who have this orphan spirit act like, feel like, and manifest a lot of characteristics of somebody who's a slave and not a son. You don't have a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. People who have an orphan spirit, their whole life is dictated by fear. They're afraid of being rejected, afraid of being abandoned, afraid of all kinds of things, because that orphan spirit is full of fear. We don't have that spirit, the Lord says here in Romans 8. He says, you've received the spirit of adoption, the spirit that produces sonship. In other words, it's going to make you a son or a daughter. This is not about gender. It's going to give you that sonship inside of you so that it can displace that orphan feeling you've experienced. You see, people, there's Christians, good, godly people in the church today, have been to church all their life, received Jesus as Savior, believe He died on the cross, rose from the dead, could quote Scripture to you, and yet they still walk around as orphans in the world. Spiritual orphans, they have this orphan thing on them. And yet this Scripture tells us that's not the spirit I gave you when you got born again. I gave to you the spirit of adoption that, and I like how the Amplified amplifies it by saying that produces, the spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we can cry, Abba, Father. So the issue becomes, do you believe the Word of God, or will you continue to believe the lie which has been whispered to you for however many years that you don't belong, you don't have anybody, nobody cares about you, you have to make it on your own, and all the things that orphan spirit has associated with it? We've received the spirit of adoption producing sonship. All right. We'll get back to that in just a little while. The orphan spirit, what does it look like in a person's life? It's really interesting. Like I said, I really, honestly, I think became kind of aware of it going to Africa. But truly, now that I've noticed it on people so much there, I have seen it very clearly since I have come here. I mean, when I visit you here in the U.S., no. When I'm home, how's that? It's become, I've become more sensitive, I think, to this whole issue. Let's just describe for a moment what are some of the characteristics of this orphan spirit I'm talking about, and is there any biblical, am I just making this up or what? But let me, I'll tell you this. I will contrast the characteristics of what I've seen anyway in this orphan spirit and what the Bible says that spirit of sonship should look like in a person's life. And so if you don't have what the Bible says the spirit of sonship should be producing in your life, then you can be pretty well assured maybe you got the other one. All right, characteristics of the orphan spirit. Yes, it's the orphan spirit test. Number one. One of the characteristics that somebody who really is a genuine orphan in the natural sense, you can ask them this, and this will be across the board. You'll see that they'll really struggle with a sense or a feeling of not belonging anywhere or to anyone. They just don't feel like they belong anywhere. They don't have people. They don't have, you know, a place. They just don't feel like they belong anywhere. And people who are walking, now they're adults, they're walking through their life, they'll feel like that in their workplace. They never quite feel like they fit. They never quite feel like they belong. Or maybe any other group they might be associated with in school or whatever, they never feel quite like they belong anyplace. It's just this overall feeling that they can't quite put their finger on, but the one thing they know for sure is they just don't feel like they belong. Now, on the other hand, a person who has this spirit of sonship, this sense of they have been adopted, okay? They have a confident assurance. They are confident of belonging in the Father's household. They're very confident of who they belong to. They're very confident of that. The scripture that I'll reference is the one we just read. But you've received this spirit of adoption, that spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. And that is so powerful. And then in Romans 8, 15, or the last verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies together with us, assuring us that we are the children of God, assuring us. So the person who has a spirit of sonship, who've really got that in their spirit, this has been worked into them, they are confident. They don't have this nagging, I don't belong anywhere thing on them. They have this confident assurance. I know exactly where I belong. I belong in the household of God. I am a child of God. This is my family. I'm not lacking. I have been blessed. I got more family than I ever dreamed of. Think about that. You know, when you come into the family of God, you get more family than you ever dreamed of. It's the truth. That is the truth. And there's such joy in that. I have enjoyed that so much since I've been born again. I mean, when I wasn't born again, you know, people aren't faithful. People aren't loyal. People aren't, you know, people in the world, they out for themselves. You know, you ever notice that? That's the way it is. But when you come into the family of God, you know, God blesses you with an extended family that reaches around the whole planet. And you can go and have felt, you can go to Toronto, you can go to Africa, you can go to wherever and find Christians and feel like, it's my family. It's just a beautiful thing. So somebody who has that spirit of sonship, they're confident that they belong, and they belong to the family of God, and there's no issue, and they don't have that nagging thing, I don't belong anywhere, I don't fit in, not at work, not at school, not in church. You could be in church every Sunday of your life and feel like you don't belong, even though you're a Christian. Even though you know in your head that you are a child of God, you can have that sense of, I don't belong here. That's an orphan spirit plaguing you. All right, here's the second characteristic of an orphan spirit that I have observed. And again, I'm no expert on this, but these are just things that I have seen for myself and seen in the Word of God. I've noticed that people who have an orphan spirit on them are always searching for an identity. And they're always trying to find it in external things. They try to find it in maybe in a career or maybe in a hobby, or maybe by associating with certain people. They're trying to like cling on to something that will give them identity, right? I mean, you can see that. You probably know people like this. And their whole identity is wrapped up in, I'm a this, or I'm a fisherman, or I'm a whatever their hobby may be, okay? Or whatever their career is. If you took their career away, they would fall to pieces because their identity was wrapped up in that. It wasn't wrapped up in what it should be wrapped up in, their identity as a child of God, an heir, you know, co-heir with Christ, who they are, what God has for them, all of that. No, it's wrapped up in what I would call very temporal and very external things. And see, the person with an orphan spirit is always trying to go find something or somebody to give them identity. And I've seen people do it with other people. They try to attach themselves to people so that they'll feel like they're somebody because they think that person is somebody. That's very dangerous. We'll talk about relationships later, but that'll disappoint you. That will totally disappoint you. That never works. It never works. It just adds to the pain because the day of disappointment comes whenever you put your hope in human beings instead of in God. Now, somebody who has that spirit of sonship, they are confident of their identity as a child of God. That scripture we read from 2 Corinthians 6:18, where the Lord was saying, I'll be a father to you, you'll be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I mean, to be able to say, God's my father, you can't get any higher up in associating than that. There's nobody you could associate yourself with that's higher rank than God. There's nobody. I don't care what kind of bloodline, what kind of royalty you could find on the earth. Nothing is higher than God. The son or the daughter of God, the prince, a princess, co-heirs with Christ. He says you're an heir now. That's awesome. But see, somebody who doesn't have that revelation, even though they're born again, will always be searching, trying to get identity from external things. Until you get the inside work done, you'll always be trying to hang on to external things or people or what have you. All right, third characteristic of an orphan spirit, and this one is huge. This is so common, but this is like the neon sign over the person's head, in my opinion. This person has a tremendous, even though they may not see it at all, a tremendous fear of abandonment and fear of rejection. And they those two fears, fear of being rejected by people and fear of being abandoned, often rule that person, the orphan's life. And most of that person's actions are motivated out of those fears. Most all of their actions, interactions with people particularly, are motivated out of those fears. So how they deal with people, interact with people, or don't interact with people are motivated by whether they're going to be rejected or abandoned or what have you. I was reading this story of this woman who was was orphaned. She lived in Germany, and she was a little child. Her mother took her to an orphanage and dropped her off as an infant. And she grew up to the age of 4 years old in that orphanage until a philanthropist, a man, wealthy man who had a very tender heart, who was German, but he lived in Venezuela. He read somewhere in the paper about this orphanage in this certain city in Germany, and he decided to do a very heroic thing. And what he did was he sent he did this big, you know, rescue thing, and he sent a plane, and he took all of those orphans out of that orphanage to Venezuela and helped place every single one of those children. Well, this little girl happened to be in that group. In fact, I saw a photo from 1950 Life magazine. It was a spread they had done about this thing, and there she was. She looked like little Shirley Temple, little four-year-old blonde, curly German girl. She's really cute. And he happened to be holding her, and then all the other children, and they're all dressed alike, and they were getting on this plane to go to Venezuela to be, you know, adopted by people there. So he lived there. Well, she got adopted. He placed her with an American family that happened to live in Venezuela. They were very wealthy, and she said in her story that she was she always lived in this fear that they would send her back to Germany. So she always had this like underlying fear of being abandoned again, okay, or being rejected by this family and sent back. Well, 4 years went by, and she said it was the happiest years of her life. They just doted on her. They loved her. She had a, you know, brother. They had one son who wasn't too far in age from her. And then suddenly, in those 4 years, she said she just, it was like going from rags to riches. It was so dramatic. And then the father, who she adored, was her hero, dropped dead suddenly of a heart attack when she was 8 years old. And everything went south from there. But her description of how she lived always with this fear of, first of all, being rejected by them and sent back to Germany, or being abandoned in some way, and then he dies, which is like abandonment in a little kid's heart, you know? So it almost just reinforced this whole thing in her life. But, you know, people who have this orphan spirit on them live under the bondage of that spirit of fear of being abandoned by people, rejected by people. And it's interesting because you'll see people deal with it in one of two ways. Okay, people who have that spirit of the orphan or that orphan spirit on them, and they live in this fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, they'll do one of two things. They'll either, when people with relationships, people want to get close to them, they will push them away. They'll push them away because it's too painful to think about maybe losing them. So rather than letting them close and risking, you know, and loving and risking being hurt, they push people away. So they kind of isolate themselves and they keep everybody at a certain distance. It's a self-protection lying demon that's telling them this is how they should act. They keep everybody a certain distance to avoid that pain that they're anticipating they're going to for sure receive from, because for sure they're going to be rejected or abandoned by the person. So in advance of that, they keep everybody far. Or they do the absolute opposite. I've seen people do both sides of this coin. They will cling to people till they about suffocate them. And they're trying to, you know, to help. They're trying to fill that hunger, right, inside. And they'll cling and they'll almost suffocate people, which ends up, what happens when people do that? What does the person do? They push them away, just like that fear of abandonment and fear of rejection told them they would, you know? You're going to get rejected. You're going to get abandoned by them. So it's a very sad scenario, but if you struggle with those sorts of things, that is totally the type of thing that spirit, that orphan spirit, will motivate you to do. And these interactions that you have are often motivated by one of those two fears. Now, on the contrary, a person who has that spirit of sonship, they're confident, so confident that their heavenly Father will never leave them or forsake them. They have that so in their spirit that it doesn't matter what anybody on the earth does. They never have this fear of being rejected or abandoned. They don't have it. They know the Word of God is so clear, and they have it in their heart, not just in their head, that the Lord, He will never leave you or forsake you. There's multiple places in Scripture that it's mentioned. Most commonly, we think of the one in Hebrews 13:5, but in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, very beautiful, it says, be strong and courageous. So that's the opposite of fear, isn't it? Right? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, people. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. What a great promise. If you have that in your spirit, it won't matter what other people do. But a person with that spirit, that orphan spirit, really, really is tormented. That's the best way I can describe it, by a fear of abandonment and a fear of rejection of people, and will either push people away themselves or try to cling to them to make them not go, and that only results in them leaving. Sadly enough. The fourth characteristic of the orphan spirit that I'll bring to your attention is this, is that people who have that kind of orphan spirit as I said earlier, they're always looking for external things, you know, to give them identity, but they literally depend on the affirmation of other people to feel important. Like, they don't feel important unless they are getting affirmation from other people. Unless people are saying good things to them, nice things to them, complimenting. They're people who fish for compliments all the time. Did I do good with that? Was that good? You know, they're always fishing for compliments. They're always looking to be thanked and things like that because they need or they have this wrong, it's a wrong spirit, it's not God, but they have this innate thing where they depend on the affirmation of other people to make them feel valuable, to make them feel needed, to make them feel important, and they are devastated if the significant humans in that person's life fail them in some way. It's true. They're devastated. If they don't affirm them, if they turn their back on them, if they fail, if they do something, they are devastated because they're so dependent on other humans to feed this thing that's not from God, that's in their heart. Now, on the other hand, the person who has that spirit of sonship, they're confident that even if all the humans fail them, if every human they knew failed them, he can rest in the love of his heavenly Father. And that is comfort enough for that person. That's enough comfort. If the whole world turned their back, this person who has that spirit of sonship and so confident in God's love feels like, you know what, it would be enough for me if just God loves me, which he does. So I can rest in that love. Now, I love what, I tell you, I know that David, King David, and we'll have to do a few more sessions on this, but King David, he had a revelation of that spirit of sonship. He really did with God. He said this. He said in Psalm 27, verse 10, he wrote, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up," or "the Lord will take care of me." So he had a revelation that if even the most significant human beings in his life failed him, abandoned him, rejected him, forsook him, he just knew, even if my own parents, he said that, even if my own parents forsake me, he had this confident statement, then the Lord will take me up, then the Lord will take care of me. Psalm 27:10. I love that. That is powerful. That'll displace a lot of anxiety if you can get that in your spirit. Here's a fifth characteristic of an orphan spirit. And this one is very telling. I'll just say that. This is a good test for you. All right? A person with an orphan spirit has this underlying feeling that he or she does not deserve anything good to happen in his or her life. In fact, this person expects life to be hard, has a hard time receiving good things if they come. And if good things do happen, which they never expect, all right, they're always waiting for what? The other shoe to drop, as that expression is, or they're waiting for something bad to happen or for it to be taken away. Their whole life is like that. Now, let me give you a little orphan story that illustrates this so perfectly. And this was a story that Melissa Herman shared from working in an orphanage in South Africa. And she told this story, and it really struck me. In fact, I called her to make sure I had the details straight. She went away for this weekend. And this was about a little boy whose name was Jabulani. And this little boy was 4 years old when he came to live in the orphanage she was working at. And his story was this. The mother had died of AIDS, and the child's four, and the father, there was no father that they knew about or where he was or if he was alive, but he had a stepfather, and the stepfather did not want him. So what he would do, he had this four-year-old, the mother dies, he locked him outside. And so the child was sleeping with the dogs outside. However, he got referred to the orphanage, when he came there, he was filthy, filthy dirty, for one thing, and he acted like an animal. And they cleaned him up, and, you know, put clean clothes on him and took him to his bedroom where he had his own brand new, beautiful bed, new sheets, comforter, as clean, nothing like he had ever experienced in his life. They tucked him into bed, and during the night, the workers would go and check on the children every hour or so. And they every time they went to Jabalani's room, he'd be on the floor, no blanket, in a corner, huddled, shivering on the cold linoleum. They would pick him back up, put him back in the bed, tuck him in, pray for him, and leave. An hour or two later, they'd come back, sleeping in the corner like a dog, curled up, shaking like a leaf on the cold linoleum floor. And this went on for quite a long time. And they talked to him about it, but he didn't have a lot of speech capacity at that time, even though he was 4 years old. But it was like he couldn't accept that anything good could happen to him. He was, let's just say, being cold and dirty and filthy and abandoned was so familiar to him. So familiar. It had become the familiar spirit in his life. And Melissa told me it took a long time for them to get him to be able to accept. They kept saying, "This is your bed. No one else is going to sleep in this bed. This bed is only for you." All of that, and would work on him, till he finally, though it took a while, was able to accept that it belonged to him. It was for him, this good thing. They said, in fact, it became, once he accepted it and started sleeping in that bed, they said, every time a visitor would come to that orphanage, the little Jabalani would say, "Come on, I want to show you my bed," and would take him immediately to his room to show his bed that he was so proud of. But it took a while for him to make that transition from that orphan spirit, "I don't deserve any good thing," to be able to accept, this is mine. And I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of people like that walking around in the world today. They don't expect any good things to come. If anything just happens to come their way that was good, they expect it to be gone, stolen, taken from them, quickly to leave, or I have heard people say this, some good thing comes, "Oh, what a blessing comes." And I said, "Yeah, well, that just means something bad's coming next." And you just want to look at it, I want to slap them. Go get it, stop it. That is just horrendous. But that's that orphan spirit. They don't expect. They can't imagine. They can't even have anticipation that good things are going to come their way. Now their attitude about the future is just trepidation. It's not good things, better things will be better tomorrow. It's who knows what terrible thing may happen tomorrow. Now, on the other hand, the person who has the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption, who knows their Abba Father, has this amazing expectation that good things are going to happen. In fact, better things than what I've already known. In fact, they are sure that God has good things and good gifts and blessings for them. You know, in James 1:17, it tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. Every good. So what's our Father like? He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's not the one, "Oh, you had a little too much fun. You better send you some trouble." He doesn't have that attitude. That's the devil who's been telling people that. That is the devil. And yet, you see, there's Christian people who are born again, sitting in church, who have that orphan spirit on them, and their anticipation of the future is dark instead of bright with the hope that God has good things and intends for you to give you a future and a hope, right? Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. And they aren't full of trepidation and going to slap you upside the head because you got too many blessings this week. That is the most corrupt, twisted view of God. But that orphan spirit struggles always, doesn't expect good things, expects the worst, all of those things. Here's another characteristic of somebody with an orphan spirit. This will be my last one. There's a lot more, so we'll have to do part two, okay? So this is just half the test. We'll do half the test later, but I want to be able to pray with you, so I have to be sensitive about the time. Here's number six, characteristic of a person that has kind of that orphan spirit on them. And this has to do with how they serve God. You see, there's lots of, now I'm talking about Christian people who have this. Okay, people who have that orphan spirit will have literally like a slave mentality when it comes to serving God. They serve God out of fear. Now, what does a slave serve his master out of? Love? No, out of fear of the whip, fear of what, of punishment. People who were in slavery, they served, they did what the master said because they were afraid of the consequences of not doing what the master said, right? Then see, a person who has an orphan spirit on them has that kind of slave mentality when it comes to God and serving God. They serve God out of duty and out of fear and out of the law. That's where they're coming from. They see God as a harsh taskmaster who has a list of rules that need to be obeyed, just like that slave that's serving the master, right? The master wants this, this, and this. I better do it. There will be severe consequences if I don't obey. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray. I better read a little of my Bible every day. Maybe I should fast. But it's out of duty, and it's out of slavery mentality. It's out of fear of the consequences if you don't. Fear of God. That is the orphan spirit working overtime on that person. But see, the person who has that spirit of sonship, they serve God out of love. It's totally out of love. It's out of a love relationship. It's out of gratitude for what God has done. They're so glad God chose them, so glad God forgave them, so glad God healed them, so glad God forgave and cleansed and made them a new creation, that they serve God just out of love. Just out of love. And out of a deep-seated trust that God's directives, whatever they may be, have his best interests at heart. Not out of, I'm about to get the whip if I don't pray and fast and read and go to church every Sunday. It's not out of that. It's out of this trust that whatever God's directives are, you know, avoid this and do this. It's out of God looking at you and say, I have your best interest at heart. I know what's good for you. If I said don't commit fornication, I have your best interest at heart. Okay? It's that. Not out of fear because of the consequences of the wrath of God, like the person with that orphan spirit has, that slavish mentality. You know, in 1 John 4:19, it's this beautiful statement that the writer says. He says, we love him. We love him because he first loved us, right? Our response of love is because we've received his love. Right? We respond with love, not out of, I better do it. God is going to get me if I don't. It's out of, he loved me. So it makes you run to him out of love. We love him because he first loved us. That's a totally different mentality, isn't it? It's a totally different way of looking at God. It's a completely different paradigm. It's a heart difference. The other scripture that comes to mind is from Galatians, that the spirit of sonship, this is the attitude that that person who has the spirit of adoption and as sons, it says, because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Now, that's powerful. But see, the person who has that orphan spirit, they're serving like a slave out of fear of the law and the severe consequences. But this says, because you are sons, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. That's powerful, but it's a totally different way of viewing God, and it's all about what's inside. Okay, we're going to stop there. There's a lot more, but God is able to do it the next time. With those six things that I've brought to your attention, I believe that I'm sure that God has perhaps pointed out some things maybe in your own heart. Maybe you have an orphan spirit. You didn't even realize that was what was happening in your life. And you know, that orphan spirit is developed when you don't have a revelation of God's love for you, or you haven't accepted His love for you. You may have accepted the forgiveness He offered. Maybe you, you know, prayed the sinner's prayer and said, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And God, save me now. And you believed He did. But beyond that, you haven't had a revelation of His outrageous love for you. And it's outrageous how He loves us. It's outrageous. It's undeserved. It's totally, there's nothing we could do to earn it. It's such a lavish love that God has. He doesn't love you because of what you've done, how many times you read the Bible, how many times you got up to pray, how many days you fasted, how many verses you memorized. It has nothing to do with earning it. It has everything to do with who He is. He's just love. God is love. It's so simple. He's love. But you see, truly, to get delivered from that spirit of the orphan, it's one thing is required only, that you get a revelation of His love for you and let Him embrace you and just receive that so that it can displace all those things that I described that might be harassing you in your life. But it's something you're going to have to run after. Because for some reason, our stubborn flesh seems to hang on to things even that aren't good for us, even that the Scripture says don't belong to us. See, that doesn't belong to you anymore once you become born again. None of those things belong to you that I described that the orphan spirit has. You don't have to have fear. It says He saved us. He adopted us so that we didn't have to have that spirit of fear all of our lives. So you don't have to have on any of those things, but you do have to embrace this love and let Him give it to you fully and completely. And I feel like God just wants us to take a few minutes and let Him pour His love out. Let Him touch that place in your heart that has all this hidden orphan spirit, you know, inside of it. It's not for you. It's not what God has for you. Now, on the other hand, if you have never, ever asked Jesus Christ into your life, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, then you are an orphan, and that's just the way it is. You are. You're an orphan, period. You are a spiritual orphan because God's not your father. He's not. But He wants to be. He's offering His love to you. His arms are open wide. He's saying, I want to adopt you. I want to adopt you. I want to make you my child. But will you make me your father? Will you let me be your father? That's a choice every person has to make. With that fatherhood comes His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace and His discipline, every part is there, but it's all good. It's all good. But it's a decision you have to make. So I want you, let's just close our eyes for a moment. And if you have never really surrendered, and I'm just saying, you know in your own heart, if you've really surrendered your life to Christ, accepted that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that you need a Savior, He's willing and He's available to be that Savior to you. But you have to confess Him as Lord, and you have to surrender your own life to Him. So if you need to do that this morning, would you just raise your hand right now, and I'll pray with you so that you can be adopted today and receive that precious gift of adoption from the Father who is love. Thank you, Lord. Now, all of you who have done that, and you know you're a child of God, in your head anyway, but you have perhaps struggled with these things I've described, today's your day to cast off that spirit of the orphan, to get that thing off of your life. You don't have to struggle anymore with feeling like you don't belong, feeling like you don't have an identity, feeling like you're going to be abandoned or rejected at any minute, or needing the affirmation of people to make you feel good, or feeling like nothing good's ever going to happen in your life. You don't have to have that slavish mentality that you have to serve God like a slave serves a master out of fear of the whip. God wants to take all those things from you, but you will have to receive His love today to displace that way of thinking that's been holding on to you. So I'm going to pray for you right now. And I'm just going to ask your Heavenly Father, who's so good and so full of love, to really reveal Himself in a supernatural way to you. And you're going to have to give your heart to Him wholly without holding back out of any kind of fear. Let Him just reveal Himself and His love to you right now. Just say, Father, I confess before you, I have an orphan spirit, and yet you're my Father. I know it should not be this way. And I confess to you, I have not taken your word to heart. I have not let it change the way that I think. And I want to take hold of it today. I want to believe your word that says you're my Father, that says I'm your son or your daughter, that says I don't have to be afraid, that says you'll never leave me or forsake me, that says you'll always care for me, that says that I've received a spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, the spirit that displaces that orphan spirit. I want to take hold of that today. So I'm asking, in the name of your Son Jesus, that you would reveal your love to me, that I would have a revelation of how much you really do love me, how valuable I am in your eyes, who you have created me to be, how you love me so much. I open my heart. I ask you to pour out your love and help me now to receive it.